And if my voice keeps getting quieter and quieter and quieter and goes out, it's not because of the sound. It's actually my voice. So then they moved on from Bethel. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons, the sons of Leah, Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. The sons of Rachel's maidservant, Bilhah, Dan, and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's maidservant, Zilpah, Gad, and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Padam Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years, then he breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, old and full of years, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. One note, February 27th next year is our next Wild Game Dinner. Write it down on your calendar.
I was watching you as he was reading. And it was so good to see you all looking at the Bible and reading. Aren't we blessed to have a Bible and we're able to do this, and I'm not worried that some governmental official is going to run in here and shut this thing down. Thank you, Lord. We're blessed that we can look at words that were inspired of God for us. And so I want to pray as we're starting out. The older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing how time is flying. When I hear February 27th from Rob there, it used to be, man, one whole year. This is going to be like forever. And time just flies. Christmases come faster. Our kids and all the stuff that's happening in their lives. Every now and then, we're able to FaceTime with our daughter and our son-in-law and our granddaughter, and we watch how fast she's growing up. And it's not going to slow down. It's just not going to slow down. And so I don't understand all that's involved with a reversed mortgage. I don't hear necessarily great things about that, but I think there's an element of thinking in a reverse way about our lives as we contemplate the fact that we're not necessarily going to be here forever. And so that Bible says to number your days. And so as you reach a certain age, like they say about my age, is called middle age. Well, if that's the case, I'm living over 100. All right. So this, I'm past middle age. I'm over the hill at this point, and I'm heading, I don't want to say down, but it causes you to stop and reflect and appreciate, I hope, more the people in my life, because we're not guaranteed. And so I feel like I'm a little more emotional than I used to be. Things hit me harder, and that's okay, because I want to have that perspective. So let's pray, and then we're going to look at an interesting chapter. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you that we're able to gather together, and you told us to be very much aware of our mortality, but also to be very much aware that our mortality because of Christ takes on immortality. Our corruptibility, as we slow down, as we're a little sorer in the morning, takes on, at some point, incorruptibility. And it's all because of the cross. It's all because of Christ. It's all because of the resurrection. So thank you, God. And I ask you, God, as we're looking into this half chapter here, that, Father, we would have an appreciation for one another and appreciation for you. And that would impact our lives. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you would, yeah, keep your Bible there open to Genesis 35. And let's work through this together. There's a section if you want to take that out of your bulletin and take some notes and write some things in there and things along that line. But I don't know how often you listen to sad songs, but it seems like there's a few out there. This has got elements of a sad song to it. This has got elements to situation as you look at it, that there'd be some tears if you knew these people, if you knew them personally, well, what they're dealing with. So point number one is we see loss. We see loss. Look at verse 16 again with me. So this is after he had... they had done the really bad stuff in Shechem, and then God calls on Jacob and he says to him, okay, arise, I want you to head to Bethel. I want you to make an altar. I want you to get serious about me. I want you to get rid of these things in your life. Actually, he says he wants him to head a certain direction, a proper direction, and he in his heart knows, I got a clean house. I got idols in my life. I got stuff that I got to deal with. And so he does it. We're done. We're done with these idols. We're done with this stuff. And we're going to bury it here. And we're going to move on. And we're going to make our way this direction. And so now they're leaving Bethel. Look at that, verse 16. Then they journeyed from Bethel. When they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel went into labor. And she had hard labor. And so they're traveling about 10 miles north of Jerusalem at Ephrath, which was really an early name for Bethlehem. It's interesting how Jesus keeps showing up, even in the book of Genesis. Stuff that we would go, oh, that reminds me of Jesus. And she begins to give birth. And it's a rough type of birth. I mean, you think about how far we've come in modern science and how many of our children are alive. Children are alive today because of modern science, whereas back in the day, they wouldn't have lived. It just would not have happened. And so she's having a hard labor. It seems from how this is written that the baby is probably breech at this point. Look at verses 17 and 18. And when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for you have another son." Her first son was Joseph. And so she's going to have another son. And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. This dying mother named this newly born son, she was going to name it Son of My Sorrow. And dad steps in and he says, I'm not going to have this baby walking around and that's going to be what is remembered. I want him to be remembered as the son. Benjamin means the son of my right hand. I'm just curious. How many of you are left-handed here? Would you raise your hand? Okay, I want you to look around. Left-handed people. Wow. A lot of left-handed people. Did you know that back in the day, that was called the devil's hand? And like nuns, even in the Catholic schools, and they would slap at that with a ruler when you'd be writing with it, and you'd have to move to your right hand. It was forced. And you look at most of life seems to be wired for right-handed people. And the left-handed people all said, amen. All right. The desks you see when they're writing, how it's different. The word in Latin, I took Latin in high school, the word for left is sinister. I mean, what's up with that, you know? And so if you can get an idea, the right hand, I'm not trying to offend any left-handed people, because you guys are amazing. I saw all the ones that had their hands up, and they are the better people in the room. Let's just all admit it, okay? The right hand was supposed to be the hand of arm of strength. In some cultures, the left hand is actually the hand that's used because sanitarily in certain rooms, they don't have necessarily toilet paper. I'm just telling you, culturally, you might go, really? Is that we don't have that here. You left-handed people, you're amazing. Like I said, it's all good. But it was just looked at in that way. And the idea was one of strength, one of preservation, one of power. And so when he's calling Benjamin the son of his right hand, that's what he's saying. He wants to remember all of this good stuff about someone that he loved dearly. Now, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice something here, because I see this, and I just think that this is fantastic. Verse 19. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Verse 20. And Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. I want you to stop and think of let's think about the love story of how much he loved this woman. This is the first of the four women that are in his life. He's got Leah and Rachel, and then he's got maidservants, Zilpa and Bilhah, tied to the two sisters. Remember when he first saw her? Remember what was going on? He had left his crazy brother. He's scared to death. He's heading out. His mom said, you got to get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you. And he heads a direction. He's heading toward, they don't want him to be marrying the Hittite woman. He's like, because that's what Esau did. She goes, get out and find our kindred. And so he heads out and he's coming to a well that is, shepherds are around it, and they're going to be watering their sheep and different livestock. And as he approaches, he starts asking about a family member. And they go, oh, yeah, he's doing well. And his daughter's over there. And he sees her. And she's amazing. So much so that he has this Schwarzenegger moment where there's a rock that's over the well. And he lifts that up and is like, look what I'm here. And she sees him and he sees her and he's so moved, which I don't recommend this move for you guys. I don't think it necessarily that's impressive. But he hugs her and then he starts crying all over her. He just met her. I don't know if that would work. Ladies, you know, I would be like, oh, yeah, this guy's got issues already. But it seemed to be fun. But he is into this girl. I don't know if you know this. There's opportunities that I have times, and I don't want to embarrass different guys in the room, but I'm telling you, I am so blessed by the guys in this room of how you guys talk about your girls. I could go around the room. I'm serious. I could go around the room with most every guy in this room and tell you that when they talk about you and the nickname they have for you, and it's a good nickname, all right, and how much they realize how much you make them what they are. I am just so blessed by that. I see how you treat your girl, how you're excited about doing something for her, how you, and I could keep going on, and I honestly could do that for different guys in the room, because we've spent enough time talking. But so I want you ladies to know that's what's going on. And guys, thank me later, all right? But the reality is, no, it is the truth. And we also know that if you weren't in our lives, we'd be bumping into a wall. I'm telling you, we'd be lost in so many ways. Here's why I'm doing this, because some of you may be going, what is your deal? We see here a guy that flat out loved this woman, and now she's gone. And he wants people to remember. He's like, and we want people to remember. This is today from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. This is the obituaries for today. And I'm looking at some of these pictures, and sometimes, I don't know if you do this with obituaries, I don't know if you ever look at them, but you stop and you look, and you see somebody that's kind of young, and you go, is this like an older picture? And the things that are written, and then you'll see sometimes on an obituary, there's one here where there's a lady who died back in 2006, but because it was around this time, there's a family member that wants you and me to know they are so special. I've got to talk about them again. I want you to remember. And I know I've mentioned this to you before, but when my father-in-law died and my wife and her sisters are walking around like the different stores and stuff like that, and they're just preparing stuff, and they're just carrying the weight of that. There was this thing of, why is everybody else so happy? Don't they know what happened? And it just hits you. It just hits you because you love this person. And I was talking to Gary James yesterday as we were setting up for the dinner. And he goes, it's been 10 weeks. He goes, not like I've been counting. And I don't know if you had opportunity to be here for the memorial service for Vicky. I told him that this context made me think of him. But after the whole memorial service was done, he stood right there. And he gave testimony. He said this, he goes, she knew everything about me, and she still loved me. That's love. That's gold. And so we know that the people that are close to us, that when they are gone, we want to somehow, we want you to remember, and yet people will forget. It's just how it is. I don't know about you. It's just the reality of time. The other day I was talking to a guy, he comes to our basketball thing, and he said he's talking to his wife, and there was a commercial that came on that said, be like Mike. And she literally turned to him and she goes, who's Mike? And he goes, Michael Jordan. She goes, who's Michael Jordan? He goes, I've got to educate my wife. And granted, yeah, it's Michael Jordan, whatever. But in a little bit, he'll be forgotten. I think about my relatives. I don't know about you. Do you know what your grandfather looked like? I know what one of my grandfathers looked like. I don't remember the other one. Let me ask you this. Do you remember what your great-grandfather looked like? It's a pretty important person. Okay, he doesn't exist. Do you know what his great-grandmother looked like? What about the great? Because some of you are like, yeah, I know. Great, great. Look, we can keep going. As time goes by, we're forgotten. And there's everything in us that says, of the people we love, we want them to be remembered. And this is Jacob's heart. This is Jacob's thing. And I want you to know, this is the beauty of it. Is it fair? Life is not fair if this is all there is to life. But if there is an age to come, it'll all make sense. But if this is it, then the kid who has a disease or the person who dies from cancer, and things don't make sense. You could have this person that eats everything right and does exercise and stuff, and they die, and then you got this person who does not care less about that stuff, and they're living to 90-something. You're going, God, what is the deal? That just doesn't seem fair. And if this is it, if this is all we got, then life isn't fair. But this isn't all we got. There is an age to come. And that's why there seems to be this push or this thing of, oh, don't make a big deal about if somebody goes to heaven or hell. It's what is, you know, life here and talking about the gospel. And how, yes, the gospel changes lives. And yes, there's forgiveness. And yes, all stuff. But here's a great thing about the gospel. There is heaven. There is glory. And I don't think we need to shy away from that. I don't think we need to talk less about that. That there is a destiny. And how and what we do with Christ is what makes the difference. And that's another reason why I appreciated that speaker so much yesterday. It was so funny watching it. There are people that show up at something like that and all they want to hear is hunting and fishing stories. That's just how it is. Make me laugh. Tell me hunting fishing stories. And guess what he said? I loved it. He goes, afterwards, I'll tell you as many hunting fishing stories if you want to hear. But here's the one thing I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you Jesus Christ is the answer. And if you don't know him, you're in a bad way and you need Jesus. And I could look at some of those hunters going, I want to hear hunting and fishing stories. And guess what? 100 years from now, hunting and fishing ain't going to matter. Basketball ain't going to matter. Stuff that you and I get worked up, but guess what now? 100 years from now, what we did with Jesus is going to be the thing that matters. But boy, this is just so us. We want to our loved ones to be remembered. He says here at the end, he says, Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. So it's likely a watchtower for shepherds that was near Bethlehem. So we see that. We see loss. Point number two. We see lust. Boy, this is an interesting verse in the midst of all of what's going on here. Look at this. While Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard of it. Now stop and think. You know, why does, by the inspiration of God, why are certain things put in the Bible? You ever stop and think about that, some of the stuff? This is one of those that's like, you know, it makes sense as we talk about it a little bit. Let's remember what's happened. Four different women in Jacob's life. So we've got Rachel and Leah, Zilpah and Bilhah. And understand this, Reuben... We see Reuben a couple times in the scripture. One of the times we see, and we saw it early on, he was out in the field and he was finding mandrakes. And they looked at those as things that were aphrodisiac. And so they argued about that. And then ultimately Leah kind of worked things out so that she could do this, be with Jacob. And so, you know, bartering on what Reuben had found in the fields. Here's another time we see Reuben. Now, let's talk birth order for a moment here. Do you remember where Reuben lines up when it comes to birth order? He's the firstborn of Israel. This instance that happens here, this makes it, because you'll find out as we get to Genesis 49, we'll find out how Jacob blesses his sons. Reuben misses out blessing because of this thing. Simeon and Levi miss out on blessing because that's the birth order. We've got Reuben, then we have Simeon and Levi. They miss out on blessing because of that chapter where their sister got raped and then they cleaned house. With their anger, they're killing people and things along that line. Because of that, they miss out on blessing. The blessing is passed to Judah, fourthborn of Leah. So Leah's the mom who has the first four sons of Israel. And I've said this before as kind of because the Jews are called Jews because of Judah. If Reuben had played straight, they would have been called Ruse, probably. We've talked about this before. That's how it would have worked out. But that's what happened. And this instance, he may have been like this. We're not sure, but this may have been the case. Bilhah was whose maidservant? It was Rachel's maidservant. And so, and this is what, you know, they see in this dysfunctional family. You got to know, they knew that Jacob liked Rachel the best. It was an understood thing. She's the favorite. Even her firstborn son is the favorite, and that was Joseph. And so Bilhah is her maidservant. And so all these years, Rachel has been in that spot. And Reuben, being a son of Leah, loves his mom. And he's seen this. There's probably been times as he's grown up, he likes his dad, he loves his father, but it bugs him that his dad likes his aunt more than he likes his mom. And I don't know if there had been flirting going on with Reuben and Bilhah. We could make this a Lifetime movie if we wanted to, all right? And the world just can, you know. I just found out that recently on, I don't know if it's Lifetime Channel or whatever, there is a whole series, a mini-series, on the Dinah and Shechem thing called The Red Tent. That just came out recently. Bible, so up to date. But some scholars, as they look at this, it looks like Reuben is going to show, I'm going to do something to Dad, and I'm going to, because I want my mom to be number one. And so if that means defiling whoever is the next in line, because would Jacob, now that he doesn't have Rachel, would Leah become his favorite? Or would one of these maidservants become, which one would? And so in his mind, he goes, you know what? I have no respect for my dad at this point, and I'm going to step into a place that I should not step. Whatever the case, it was wrong. And he lost God's blessing because of it. And so in this chapter, we see loss in our heartbreaks. And then we see, and this is right around this time, Reuben goes and does that. I'm telling you, you think about how painful that would be for this father. And sometimes, isn't this the truth? When it rains, it pours. You'll hear people when something happens and then something else happens and then they're waiting for something else to happen because in their mind they go, everything happens in threes. That's just how it is. They're almost looking for that third one. And so he sees here, Israel watches. Israel heard of it, but we don't see any response. But I'll tell you something, because he might have gone, well, I got to get away with this. And then we get to Genesis 49, and Daddy didn't forget. And he loses out blessing. And I like the fact that it says in the Bible here, it says Israel heard of it. I think Jacob might have killed him, but Israel is the one who heard of it. And Israel knows his frailty, but he also knows there's got to be a standard. Let's wrap things up. Point number three, we see a line, and as was already read, but let's read it together. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, isn't it interesting thrown in there just so that we have an understanding? Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, Dan, and Naphtali, the sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, Gad, and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. So we see the genealogy of the sons. We see that these are the ones that as we head a little bit farther, and we'll see in Esau's thing next week, that these are shepherds, and we'll see what how God has allowed Esau's descendants to be. But as we're watching this, we're seeing that God is still actively involved using these 12 men for His glory. Last one, we see legacy. We see legacy. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last, and he died, and was gathered to his people, old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And so Isaac's funeral brought these two sons back together, as Abraham's funeral had done that for Isaac and Ishmael. And Jacob is back in the land before his father's death, yet fulfilling another part of his Bethel vow. We see that in Genesis 28:21, as we wrap up here. So that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So he vowed that he was going to do this, and he was obedient to that vow. Let's appreciate those that are around us. Let's understand that this life only lasts so long. And let's love one another the way we ought. Let's pray. Father, as we are heading out into another week, lots of things going on. I think of the changes that are going on around here because things change. We think as this week progresses, there's going to be people here working on sound and lighting so that that would be something that is going on better here. We ask your blessing on their work in that so that when it's all said and done, what is proclaimed from this place in worship and in preaching and in testimony would honor you, that we'd be the most effective, that Father, whatever you want to be done through Grace Bible Church would be exactly what is done. And we pray, God, that we love one another and encourage one another. And we ask you for safety as we travel home. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.